welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now here is Brother Chad Johnson with today's message.
Good to be back with you this week. We are in 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll take off here in verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. We finished up there in verse 7 talking about the trial of our faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire. And verse 8, whom having not seen, ye love. That's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ there. And though we haven't seen Him, I haven't seen the Lord Jesus Christ through these physical eyes, but I have seen Him through the eye of faith, and I love Him. You know why I love the Lord today? Because He first loved me. That's one of the greatest songs, or their most popular songs, I should say, as a child, is Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, for the Bible Tells Me So. And, you know, Jesus, the reason I love the Lord today is because He first loved me. I would not love the Lord today if He hadn't come to me and loved me first. Because my old man wouldn't let me. It's dead in trespasses and sin. But I haven't seen Him, but I love Him. Though now we see Him not, yet believing. We're believing and trusting in Him for our salvation. We're believing that we will see Him someday. And that we'll see Him when we leave this life. And we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I wonder what's happened to our joy. I wonder why that we don't rejoice and praise God. There's many ways to praise Him. You can praise Him through song. You can praise Him through raising your hands and lifting your hands to Him. You can praise Him through your tears. You can praise Him through shouting and leaping and praising the Lord like David did when he danced before the Lord. If it's done decently and in order, it's scriptural. But it just seems like people don't rejoice. We don't rejoice over the eternal things of God like we used to, or like people used to. You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I mean, when something's unspeakable, it's like you can't really describe it. That ought to be our joy, that we're so joyful because of what God's done for us in Christ Jesus, and our soul is now saved. And though we're in trials, though we go through tribulation, that the end of the race is going to be worth it. It'll be worth it all when we see Christ, as the songwriter writes. It's unspeakable, and it ought to be full of glory. Oh, I tell you what, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. What is the end of the faith of the child of God? When you look at the very end of our faith, the end results of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is truly our souls are saved. Verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. I believe the reference here is referring back to the Old Testament prophets, how they would prophesy of the coming Messiah and the Deliverer that would come. There's so many Old Testament prophecies of the coming Messiah and Christ coming to save His people. And they prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. See, Peter was writing to these people here, and he was saying that these Old Testament prophets, they prophesied of this grace that's going to come to you that would be manifested in your life. Verse 11, searching what, or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. I'm sure as these Old Testament writers were being led by God and showed these things and were prophesying, that it was kind of hard for them to understand how He would be a suffering Savior, but the glory that would follow. And I think what He's telling us there, first of all, is Christ is our example. He suffered. He endured the suffering of the cross, and the persecutions, and the mockings, and the crucifixion. But then afterwards came glory. He was buried, and then He rose again on the third day, and then He descended back to heaven on Pentecost. And See, that's what I think he's trying to tell us there too, that in our lives, because he's been dealing with persecutions and trials of our, the trial of our faith in the verses before, I think what he's trying to tell us is that as Christ suffered, but what followed the suffering? The glory that should follow. And I believe when our time of our season, he talked about of testing, runs its course, we passed the test, we've learned what we needed to learn, just as we did in school. We learned things, took a test, and if you failed the test, maybe the teacher would try to, I remember as a student, when I was in grade school especially, that when several of us did a poor job on the test, sometimes the teacher, if it was enough of us, would say, hey, you know, it's obvious that the whole group has missed the information, the material here, and we would go back and review and maybe even take a makeup test or do something even for some extra credit to try to build up that test score because we didn't get it. But as we go through our spiritual testings, God help us to get them because the glory that should follow. See, when you pass the test, you might have worked hard, studied hard, and made a good grade on it. Oh, but once you got that good grade, all the late nights of study, all the missed hours of sleep, the hard work you put in it, boy, it was glorious. It was, you were proud. You were thankful that you had done that. Well, I think that's the way it'll be as we pass through the sufferings of this life, that the glory that is to come, that the glory that will follow will be worth everything we went through. Now, verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed, I believe that's referring back to those Old Testament prophets. It was revealed to them. They are the ones that it was revealed to, and God gave it to them. That not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister these things. And I believe what that's saying is there now, those Old Testament prophets, it was revealed to them, and that they weren't the ones that were going to receive, though some of, they were saved and they offered the sacrifices. The sacrifices couldn't take away sin, but what it pointed to did take away sin. They didn't see the Messiah, and He didn't come in their lifetime. But unto us they did minister these things. I believe what He's saying is the us is a reference to everybody that from the time those prophets prophesied and wrote the things in the Word of God, unto us, those that have either saw the Lord Jesus in the flesh or have been saved since His death and His burial and His resurrection and now are reading the Scripture, they were written to us. They minister unto us now, though those men wrote those things sometimes 5,000-6,000 years ago, or maybe even a little longer, that those things minister unto us today, which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel. See, the things that those Old Testament prophets prophesied, now the men of God in the New Testament that are preaching the gospel and writing the Word of God through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, they have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. See, we are enlightened by the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God must draw a man before he's saved. And once the Spirit of God draws a man and he is saved by the grace of God, then the Spirit of God lives inside and dwells in believers to guide us, to comfort us, to lead us in all truth, to rebuke us. He does the word comforter there. Another comforter was talking about, I think in the book of John, talked about one like the other. It was referring to the comparison of the Holy Spirit to Christ. He came in Christ's stead to work among His people. He does He did the same works basically that Christ does. Christ comforted His believers. The Holy Spirit does. Christ convicted men of sin. The Holy Spirit does. Christ gave understanding. The Holy Spirit does that. Christ led them in truth. The Holy Spirit does that. Now, so see, he's a comforter. He came in the stead of Christ because Christ had to ascend back to the Father and be seated at His right hand as our mediator, ever living to make intercession. But He didn't leave us comfortless. He left the Holy Ghost of God here. He was sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. So, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, at this verse, I think we kind of turn from the sufferings here a little bit, and we're told to gird up the loins of our mind. When you think about girding up, in the Bible days, when the men would gird up their robes, they would pull them up between their legs and kind of tie them around. They did that if they were going to ride a horse or go into battle or do certain types of work. And I believe what Peter's saying is gird up the loins of your mind, not just where your brain is, but everything inside, your brain, your soul, your inner man. Gird him up. Get him ready. Be sober. And hope to the end for the grace that is being revealed unto you. That means that hope means to look forward to it with great expectation, anticipation that it's going to happen. It'll be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When Christ is revealed, when Christ comes back, He's telling them, be ready, be ready. Have yourselves girded up. And what else do we need to do as obedient children? See, we're told to gird up, get ready for battle. This is a spiritual warfare. And we're to gird up and be ready because He's coming again. And since He is coming again, verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. If we really realize and let it sink in that Jesus Christ is coming again, then we shouldn't be disobedient, but we should be obedient children, not fashioning ourselves according to the former lust. We shouldn't be conforming back to the former things before the Lord saved us that we had in our life, but we should be conforming more to the image of Christ and to the things of God, because He is coming. He is coming. And we did this in ignorance. He said, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. See, before we were saved, we sinned, and though we wanted to sin, our old nature wouldn't let us do anything but sin. We might have had the choice of what sin we partook of, but far as sin in general, we had to sin because that's all we knew. And it was in our ignorance. Our sin was in our ignorance. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. We'll start there because there are several things I'd like to say about that verse, and time won't let me do it this week. So God bless you, and next week we'll begin in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7918, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.